and welcome to this penultimate episode of this season's Life is for the Living. I'm your host, Rebecca Richman. Next week, Marco and I are going to be doing our usual season wrap-up. This week, we will turn one last time to our guests with one question. What is your best advice for living? We're going to start out with Belinda, who has some advice specifically for women who are trying to move into leadership positions.
So first of all, I have some economic advice, which is know exactly what your male counterparts are getting paid to do the job and negotiate hard for at least that when you go in. Because there's lots of good research that's showing that women, when there's a salary band, men tend to ask for and be offered the upper end of the band. Women tend to ask for and be offered the lower end. All kinds of reasons for that that we could go into. But the truth is, when that happens, not only is it a pay gap in the moment, but it's a pay gap that compounds over our careers. So if you are early in career or early in leadership, fight hard for your salary early on, because it will have a big impact over time. So that's one thing. Another thing is really get clear on your own values and what feels aligned with those values and what does not. Because there are often decisions that we have to make in leadership roles that don't feel right, but we don't always know why. And usually that's a values misalignment when that happens. If we know our values and we're clear about them, then we can filter our decisions through them. It doesn't mean we always get to say a hard no to anything that's not fully aligned with our values. But then the question becomes, how can I do this in a way that is more aligned? Right? Because there is some gray there, I think. So to me, that is sort of making sure that you save your soul as you go, right? Because coming back to the values alignment piece is huge. We don't always think about our values. But when we have a values misalignment or a values trespass happening in our lives, we feel the dissonance. It's painful, even if we don't know exactly how to articulate it. So the more clear we can be on values and use them, don't just like do an exercise to define them, but then think about them, bring them into your decisions. That's huge. And then the third thing, and then I'll stop, is if you are moving into a leadership role, particularly as a woman, then you need to do the work of equality in your household. Because, you know, equality starts at home in a lot of ways. We had talked earlier about sort of those stereotypical gender roles, and those are alive and well today. Women are still doing significantly more household, unpaid, invisible, caregiving, domestic work than males are in most households. Not the case in every household and starting to change, which is great, but it is really hard to go and be equal in your workplace when you are not equal in your house.
Jessica's advice for everyone is simple. Be yourself.
Oh, I used to think of some silly formula like boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy becomes girl. Then girl loses girl. Girl meets girl. Girl loses girl. Kind of like a little chain like that, I think. The metaphor of my life has always been change. And so and change is inevitable, but resistance is futile. to quote the Borg from Star Trek. So I've resisted a lot of change in the first half of my life. And I think, you know, that question you asked me about the biggest regret I had in life, I think it was, and I think most trans people will tell you, not transitioning earlier, because I wasted so much of my life trying to be someone I wasn't. And the psychological stress from trying to do that you know, it was an enormous toll, took an enormous toll on my health. So I guess the best advice I could give anybody is to steal from Oscar Wilde, you know, in the end, you might as well be yourself because all the other options are taken. And I became myself, and I'm pretty happy with that person, pretty happy with who I ended up to be. So I'm grateful. I'm very grateful.
Part of knowing yourself is recognizing what you've done and what you've survived.
So you got to here, wherever here is. You got there because you're resilient, you're smart, you did the work, like whatever it was that got you to here, those same skills are not, they're not leaving in a hard time. They're still with you in a hard time. And you can keep going, right? And keep using those skills that you have.
One component of really knowing yourself is also recognizing that you cannot control other people.
I can't control anybody except myself. And so let it go. I know that now. And that's one of the things that I tried to impart in to my ex-offenders also. You know, it's up to you. I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You say you never get any support from family or something. That's not their job. That would be nice. But if it doesn't happen, it's up to you to give yourself support and find those people who will support you. Sometimes the people that you think you should be able to rely on are just not there for you. And that's sad, but that's not an excuse for you to screw up. So I know that one of your questions is, what is wisdom and do you have it? And wisdom is just learning to live. And, you know, after 79 years, and especially after Al-Anon, I think I finally learned how to live. Don't try to control other people. You know, just do the best you can with your own life and let others make their mistakes if they're going to make them, or teach you something, you know. That's the primary thing, I think. You know, and accept others. Accept them. Be kind. You know, it doesn't matter to you if they're doing things. It doesn't affect you. Just do your own thing.
If you want to be fully comfortable with who you are and who others are, you need to seek out diverse groups of people and get to know them. Although this can be actually easier said than done.
I was always fascinated with other cultures, not to take them on necessarily, but just the diversity. What beauty, the world. It's like a flower garden. I have every kind of flower in my garden and different perfumes. Well, that's what people for me too, and cultures. And I'm grateful that I had parents that, because of our particular status as who they were, that I was exposed to that. And I also had people that called stuff out. The person who called out racism more than anybody else in my family was actually my white grandmother. So, unfortunately, we live in an incredibly segregated country still in terms of housing. And my dad, dragging us off, he got these jobs, and then during the McCarthy era, we had to leave town. So we also moved around regionally. So getting exposed to not just racial and ethnic differences, but also regional differences, because it's a big difference between Maryland Eastern Shore and Tennessee, because we spent time at Fisk in Nashville, and then Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you know, or Nollins. And so I not only got to travel or State College, Pennsylvania, you know, And then I spent a lot of time in the summer with my mom's family in Philly. And Philly is different than New York. You know, so unfortunately, I don't know how we're going to change that unless we address housing segregation in this country. And as long as people live in their little boxes, the ability for them to interact. One of my best friends, who's white and Jewish, secular, went to Julia Richmond High School, where in high school they had, it was a real mix. So she grew up in and out of people's houses who were Black, who were Puerto Rican, who were whatever, and is totally comfortable, you know, flowing between. And she's like me. Has no issues. But there's so few people that have that opportunity. And I don't know how you change that.
But one of the things that can help you with that search for diversity is really valuing and putting effort into interpersonal relationships.
But it's really, to me, it's these human relationships are the things that make life rich and interesting and worth living.
And it's through that work of exposing yourself to different groups of people and putting effort into interpersonal relationships, you can find what can be your real community.
I think it's finding your real community of support where you can truly be yourself. You can say the hard stuff and people will get it and respect it and accept you and love you. Because I think there's a lot of networks or communities where we feel that we're not quite able to be ourselves or that we have to show up in a certain way. And it is such a gift when you can just show up and be you. Like, that is invaluable, especially in hard times.
Once you've found out who you are and where you belong in the world, you can start doing what you need to do to actually make this world a better place.
We feel a pull or a call, right? To do something, to say something, to step into something, to leave our job, to start a job, like whatever those pulls are, right? And I think it's learning how to answer the call wherever it's coming from. Maybe it's coming from your intuition. Maybe it's coming from who knows what. But to me, that's such an important lesson is, you know, those being able to listen to that and be brave enough to answer the call.
Yeah, that's, I'm still learning that lesson.
Me too.
Getting better, but certainly doesn't come easy. But just because you're answering that call doesn't mean you shouldn't take some time for yourself.
Find something that will lift your spirits. For me, it's digging in the dirt and growing roses. You have to take a vacation and treat yourself to things that make you feel good. I don't care whether, you know, it's eating Reese's peanut butter cups or whatever it is that can lift your spirit. And each person is different, you know, so there's no patented do this and you will be okay. But explore the things that lift you up. You know, and make a point of making sure you nourish yourself that way. Because you can get so deeply embedded into, I gotta get this done, I gotta get this done, I gotta, you know, this is not happening, I got this meeting or whatever, that you don't take time out to smell the roses.
And with those words of wisdom, we say goodbye to our fantastic guests. Jan, Denise, Jessica, Belinda, and Susie, thank you so much. We owe so much to these women, and we're so honored that they were willing to be on our podcast. Join us next week when Marco and I wrap up the season, and we also ask our most burning question. Why are we so big in Germany. Until then, take care. And if you have any questions or want to chat, you can reach us at lifeisfortheL on Twitter and Instagram, or email us at lifeisforthelivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Life is for the Living podcast is written by me, Rebecca Richman, and produced by Marco Berlow.